This morning we're in 2 Corinthians 4. The scripture will be on the screen, or you can open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 4. You might want to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 4 because we will be going back and forth in the passage. And all that won't be on the screen. Go ahead and hit the first slide for me. Missions is a very important part of the life of the church. Unfortunately, in many churches, it's not emphasized. And in many individuals, they don't quite understand the reason for missions. And I would just let you know, as far as I'm concerned, this pastor is concerned, missions is the lifeblood of not just the church, not just Christ's bride, but us as individuals. If we are not missional or seeking missions as a way of life, then I think we've missed the point of Christianity. Too many people see the Christian life as more of a country club type thing. Thanks, man. Just go ahead and put it on the first pew. Too many things see the Christian life as sort of a country club, where churches are places where you can go and you have these good friends and you can keep out those, the riffraff of society, and just have a nice place you can attend. I've actually heard from some of our members who have gone on vacations and gone to different churches and had members of those churches say, "We're so glad you visited with us, but I just want you to know we have all the members we need." Okay, that was a country club, and you know, our church member kind of crashed their party, and they just wanted to let them know. I've sat with a woman who was so nice to this person of a different color, but said, "Now, honey, isn't there a church like you that you could be going to?" Seriously, just wonder what. I'm sorry, did you miss the whole point here? You seem to be so vibrant in your Christian walk in so many areas, but did you completely miss how Jesus said, quoting the Old Testament, that my house will be a house of prayer for all nations? Not this house over there will be a house of prayer for those people, and this will be for those people, but my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. Missions has to be our lifeblood. And if you feel like we overemphasize missions here, praise God for that. I want to be at a church where somebody walks in and goes, "Man, all they do is missions around there. I'm sick of it." That would just be the greatest honor I think you could ever be told. So I want to let you know that we are going to spend a little more emphasis than usual this month on the heels of our trip to Guatemala, our first trip of many to Guatemala, and in the midst of our offering for Southern Baptist Missions. I want to take this month of March and truly focus on different aspects of it. And now I want you to see how all these things we're focusing on will be very much applicable or applicable to your personal walk with Christ. We talked last week about our motivations in missions, that our true motivation is so that the nations will experience the joy of Christ and praise God for all eternity. That's our over and abundant joy to do, is to share the gospel with everyone so they will be with us in front of the throne of Christ for all eternity, praising His name. That is a lofty motivation. But I want to share today how when we go about with that desire, we see blessings from God. So today we're going to talk about the blessings of missions. Next week we'll talk about what exactly is the mission message. There are many different things used now for the mission of the church, or missions. People throw around that word and it's gotten to the point where lots of people don't even know what we're talking about. So next week we'll talk about what is the message behind all of this. What is it that we are declaring throughout the world? No, back up. Back up. I'm not done with that slide. Then after that we'll talk about the urgency, how there are so many going to hell who need to hear the gospel. And then finally, at the end of the month, on Easter Sunday, we'll talk about our authority and look at our memory verse for the month. So I kind of gave it away If you were here just a little bit ago, you've heard the sermon already. Condensed version. Go to the next slide now. So we're going to talk about the blessing of missions today. And I want you to see today, or it's my desire that you see, that being obedient to God in His call for missions, both individually and as a church, results in blessings in our lives and, like we said last week, brings joy to the nations. And because of that, through sending missionaries, through praying for missionaries, through giving to missions work, through going ourselves and telling the good news of the gospel, God's blessings get poured out on us and on those that hear the message in abundance. Go on. So, specifically, we're going to talk today, after we look at the scripture, I hope that you will see with me in 2 Corinthians 4 that there are many blessings that come to us and to others through our activity and missions. We learn to depend on God's word. We display God's presence. We demonstrate His power and declare His plan to everyone. So go to the next slide. Let's stand as we honor God in reading His word. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that His life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in His presence. All of this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for the clear message that You've given through the Apostle Paul. And I pray that over the next few moments, Lord, You would show us clearly how it applies to our lives, how it applies to this church, and how it gives glory to You when Your people are in obedience. Lord, we pray that Your name would be praised by our being here today, and that if any heart is unchanged, if any heart has not received Your Lordship, if anyone here doesn't know You as Lord and Savior, Lord, show them Your glory today. Let them see how they've been called according to Your plan and purpose, Lord, and give them life. I pray in Christ. Amen. Will you please be seated? You know, the first mission trip I ever got to go on was some years ago. As a church member, I never seemed to be able to take off work and never seemed to be able to leave my family and never seemed to be able to do a week set aside just to go on a mission trip. So the first time I ever got to go on a mission trip was as your pastor back in, I think it was 2003, 2004, somewhere in that range. I had already been walking with Christ for 12 years and yet had never gotten the opportunity, never been able to actually put aside the time to go. Had supported missions, had prayed for missionaries, had been part of missions, but never got to individually go and never really understood what the big deal was. And then the opportunity arose for me to go to Romania. And the church said, go. This will be wonderful. Go. And it changed so much in me. To actually be on the mission field and be there firsthand, being able to share Christ with folks, being able to see their lives change, being able to be part of what God was doing on another part of the world. Now, I know not everybody gets that opportunity. But I have to share with you why even giving to missions, why being able to send people. You know, we as a church want to be able to send people on missions. We're raising money. We went back to LSU yesterday. We're going so many times this spring and in the fall so that we can raise money to send people to Guatemala. Why is that important? How can you be blessed? Well, go to the first line. First of all, teaches us through missions, through giving, through going, through supporting. Go to the next slide, please. It teaches us to depend on God's word. In verses 1 through 6, the Apostle Paul is talking about the ministry of being able to go out and share the gospel. And in the first three chapters of this letter to the Corinthian church, he talked about the hardships that they've gone through and how they wanted to give up over and over and how they were beyond despair, even to the point of death, because it seemed like the work they were doing wasn't always fruitful. Then he says in verse 1, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, it's a gift of God that they had this ministry to share Christ with others. He says, we do not lose heart. Rather, we've renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. Nor do we distort the word of God. I want you to be clear about something. There are many people who will distort the word of God. Many people who will preach themselves. Many people who want to see their churches and their ministries grow because of their greatness. That is not what Christ has called us to do. And when you go on the mission field, you realize very quickly that is not what you will be able to do. Because there's something that happens on the mission field that you go and you start to realize, I have nothing that I can give these people of myself. You know, you might go thinking, well, I can go and do a medical team and I'll help bandage wounds and I'll help give shots, and you get out there and you can't speak a word of the language. And you have to get someone to translate for you. And you find out that your best intentions on teaching someone what they should do fall flat because the interpreter's not even sure what you're talking about. You'll go thinking that you can teach people a better way. Do you even ever realize that your neighbor was going through a difficult time and you could teach them the right way because you're a little bit older, maybe even a generation or two older than them, and you went through that same experience, and yet you go over there and next thing you know, they don't want any of the information you're trying to give? What happens on the mission field is all those things that we overlook in our normal life become so apparent to us. And we struggle. I came here thinking that I was going to help. No. You can't help. But here's the beauty. God's Word can. You see, this is the thing that happens when you're on the mission field. This is what missionaries experience. They may be well trained. They may be sent out knowing everything they should. But if they don't give those people the Word of God, nothing is going to be accomplished. The Apostle Paul went on to say, in verse 5, "For we did not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for your sake." We did not preach ourselves. We realize that this is not about us. Going out and sharing the gospel, even if it's going on mission to go down the street and share the gospel with a neighbor, you find out right away you're not going to preach yourself. This is not about you. This is not about anything else but sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with them. The Word of God spoken, the Word of God displayed, the Word of God powerful working in their lives. You learn you have to depend on it so that you can share it. I know the first time that I got to go on a mission trip to Romania, I was confronted with my lack of true understanding of the Word of God. Why? Because the only thing I could offer them was the Word of God, and I didn't know it well enough. I needed to learn more and more. Every time I go on the mission field, I realize that again and again. I need to know this Word better than I do. Because I want my words that come out of my mouth to be the Word of God, because that's what will change their situation. Go to the next slide. What happens is we realize the reality of God's Word. We realize that God tells us not to depend on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He will make our path straight, and that will apply to the people we're speaking to, and that will apply to us. When we go, we see that God's Word can do it, and we realize I can depend on it too. We also realize the power of God's Word. When we were out on the mission field this time, out in Guatemala, some of the folks for Food for the Hungry wanted us to kind of change the way we were doing the Vacation Bible School, because the kids were real restless that first day. And we started talking about it among us, and we realized, you know what? We don't want to just make this all a bunch of activities. We don't want just playtime with these kids, although it's important for us to bond with them. But if we were to shorten the time of telling the kids the Scripture, there would be no reason for this trip at all when it came down to it. And so we talked, and Food for the Hungry, they said, "Oh, you're right, you're right, you're right." At first, they just saw how antsy the kids were getting that first day, but they didn't stop to think about the power is in the Word of God. And we've also realized that they don't have Bibles in this village. And at first we thought, well, how can we get them Bibles if they don't understand even Spanish? Ishil isn't exactly a common language. But we found since we got home that there is an organization that has translated the Bible in Ishils. Wycliffe Bible Translators actually began in this part of Guatemala. Yes. You don't remember reading that with me? The man who started Wycliffe Bible Translators started it because he was translating the Bible into the Mayan languages of Guatemala. So we will be able to get them Bibles. We will make sure we get them Spanish Bibles, then we get them Ishil Bibles. And we'll see God at work. Because not only do we know the reality of having to depend on God's Word ourselves, not only do we know that the power of God is in His Word and can change someone's life, but we also know from personal experience and on the mission field that God's Word is enough. It is sufficient to change our lives. I know that when I hand someone a Bible, they don't need me anymore. Now, they might feel like they do, and I want to be there to help them, but the honest truth is, if someone will apply themselves to reading the Bible, God will apply himself to saving them and showing them how to live. So let me just tell you this, church, if you are in a struggle and you decide that the pastor or someone else has to always be there for you, I want you to realize something. Those people will be there for you, but we can also act as a crutch and keep you from growing. Because if you think you have to call someone else for them to always help you out, then you're missing the biggest point. The only help they know and the only help they can give is what they learn from the Scripture, and you can get directly from the Scripture as well. I want to say this again. I just heard this illustration recently from a man who was a missionary in Peru for decades. And what he found is another man in that village came up to him and said, "Pastor, I want to take you to task for something. You are damaging these people." And he said, "What in the world could I possibly be doing to damage them?" And this man said, "Pastor, you are making these people depend on you as if you were the priest and you could answer every one of their problems." He said, "Well, I didn't realize I was doing that." He said, "Yes, because you're not sending them home to read the Scripture for themselves." He said, "I realized something then. This man was right. When people came to me with their problems, what I needed to do is send them home with passages to look up. And then be there if they needed more help through the passage. But the Scripture is sufficient." We've seen it over and over. Those who will study the Scriptures, those who will listen to it on CD, or read it word for word, or look at it on their Kindle, whatever format they need, if they will apply themselves to learning the Scriptures, God applies himself to changing their life. This is the reality we learn through missions. This is the testimony we hear from missionaries over and over and over. We also realize on missions, go to the next slide, that we are the ones who display the presence of God. We, on the mission field, get to show people who Jesus is. The Apostle Paul talks about this ministry, this treasure that he has, the ability to share the gospel with people, and he says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay." What does he mean by that? He means we realize that we ourselves are nothing, but Christ is everything, and they will see him through us. If I show up very fancy with just bling all over me, and all the attention is on me, then what in the world am I doing to help anyone? The attention needs to be on Christ. People need to see me for who I really am, a wretched man, saved by the grace of God. Tell you, I've had people in the past say, "You are such a good man," and it freaks me out. Crawl up in my skull one time and you won't say those words anymore. You'll say something like, "You know what, you're a really wretched man, but God does good things through you. It's amazing to me." You'll say, "I can't get over how God could use someone like you." That's the response. The Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians, "Look, when we came to you, we didn't come with persuasive speech and powerful words, but a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. We are God's presence. He needs to be seen through us. Broken jars of clay, not even fired in a kiln with a nice what do you call that stuff you put on the after? Ceramic. Beautiful type. Anyway, we're just simple jars of mud made into pots that can hold the gracious love of Christ, the presence of God for all to see. He says we carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed. Go to the next slide. How do we display God's presence? Well, it's an amazing thing to me, but I see these three areas the most. We display God's presence through the boldness that Christ gives us. His presence is displayed. I have to tell you about this one woman that was on the trip with us from Michigan, Jessica. She was the pastor's daughter from the church in Michigan. Jessica was just a really neat young woman, 24, I think, 25, somewhere in that range. She has a degree, a college degree in Spanish and education. So she is a teacher in the school system up in Michigan, and she learned Spanish by going to Spain and spending a term in Spain to further her Spanish. So we were just excited about having someone with this kind of ability with us as a Spanish translator. Do you know, she struggled that week. And she shied back so many times. And she was worried that she wasn't translating things right. She never felt confident enough. And then the last day came around and she said to me, "Pastor, there's a problem. We haven't given a clear gospel presentation to these kids. Our scriptural passage was in Psalm 139, and I don't know if these kids even know who Jesus is. Someone needs to give a gospel presentation." And I listened to her, and I listened to her heart, how it was breaking over the fact these kids might not hear a clear gospel presentation. I told her, I can't do it. I don't speak Spanish. Your dad can't do it. He doesn't speak Spanish. But you do. And she said, "No, I'm not ready for that." I said, "Yes, you are, Jessica. You can do this." "No, no, no, no. We need to get somebody else to do it, and one of the FH people can translate." I said, "No, Jessica, you can do this." Tears streaming down her face. "No, Pastor, I can't do this. You don't understand. I can't. I'm not good in front of big crowds or anything like that." I said, "You've been great this whole week in front of big crowds. You can do this. You know the gospel. You can present it clearly. Just tell the kids who Jesus is." Tears streaming down her cheeks, she said, "All right, I'll try." And what happened? She stepped out boldly and gave a clear gospel presentation. As far as I know, my son can understand Spanish, so he said she did a great job. But she went places she never would have gone otherwise. The most amazing thing happens when we go on a mission trip. God pushes us out in bold ways to do what we would never do otherwise. And we find that He is able to do that in us. And the presence of God is displayed in our lives. When we support missions, when we seek out missionary activities, when we seek to give to missions, all those things, we're bold in it. We declare the gospel of God to all who need to hear it. And a boldness comes up and people say, "What is going on?" The power of God is on display. We display God's presence also in our willingness to do this, our willingness to do what we normally wouldn't do, our willingness to give in ways we didn't think we could, our willingness to wait. One of the things we found on a mission trip is you've got to be ready for every plan you have painstakingly put into place for the previous year for it all to be thrown out the window the very first minute you're on the mission field. Doesn't matter what plans you have. Doesn't matter how. That's why, you know, I just don't even plan. It's not quite true. But it doesn't matter what you've done, because God may change it all in a moment's time. It may turn out that you can't even drive today to the village and you're stuck in the city. God's presence is shown to those around you by how you respond and your willingness to wait, your willingness to be patient, your willingness to not think that your ideas are more important than the Lord's. That's something we need to learn in our everyday life. And God's presence then is also shown in our joy, our happiness in having our plans changed. We came at the end of the mission trip to realize every time things got thrown out and everything went kerplooey, God was up to something and we needed to watch to see what he was going to do. And boy, it was fun to do. Why did this happen? Well, let's see. Why is it that our bus driver didn't show up at 11 o'clock and a different bus driver had to show up at, what, 7? 6? 6 that night? Well, I tell you what, I got to witness to that bus driver the whole drive home, 6.5, 7 hours. I fell asleep the last half hour at 2 in the morning. But for 6 hours, and I got to hear him share his testimony of Christ. I got to hear him talk about he felt that God had a plan for his life and that God had called him to be a pastor someday. And I got to realize, Lord, this was your plan. And God's presence is shown by our willingness to adapt and change. Go to the next slide. Not only do we display God's presence, but we demonstrate God's power. The Apostle Paul later here talks about this jar of clay that he is. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God. What's he talking about? Well, not only do I display God through my life, but I enjoy the power of God to get me through the tough times. This is so important, folks. You can be all about wanting to show people Jesus and then hit a wall, spin out of control, crash and burn, and never get back up. It happens every day to pastors. It happens every day to people in full-time ministry. It happens to missionaries on the field. And it happens to every believer in Christ who seriously follows him. But what the Apostle Paul said is we're crushed, but not in despair. Why? He says in verse 16, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. The greatest thing about stepping out with God in ways that you never wanted to, never thought you would, stepping out with him in all these ways is you realize that he can sustain you through everything. You demonstrate his power. You show God's power. Go to the next slide. You show God's power. One more. To sustain you. One of the most amazing testimonies I had ever heard when I was an unbeliever. My wife forced me. She was my girlfriend at the time. Forced me to go to a Sunday school gathering with her. We went to this lake and got to play with sea-doos and have a cookout and everything. And I got to know the family who, the Sunday school teacher and his wife. And I was staying back because these strange Christians, I didn't know, you know, they were like alien beings. I wasn't sure how close I could get without like some of that Christianity spilling on me. And I'm standing back a little ways, and I hear them talk about how difficult the previous year was for them. Because they almost lost their business. I don't remember what business it was. But I know he said that they came close to losing everything. That the IRS had decided that they were in default on some things, and had shut down their bank accounts, and had shut... It took them 9 months to get their name cleared, to get the IRS off their back, and turns out they hadn't done anything wrong. But they went through a terribly hard time. And I remember he said, if it wasn't for Christ, we would have never been able to get through that. It made me mad. It made me mad. I had a conversation with Kristen later that day. I said, man, he said that it was all Jesus that did that. And she said, yeah, so? No, it was him. He just didn't know the power he had inside him. And she said, you just don't know what you're talking about. You need to go talk to him more. I ain't talking to him. He's going to say it again. And it was true. I started to see all of a sudden, wait a minute. This whole Christian thing, this whole church thing they're doing, there's something more than I see. They're declaring that Jesus gives them the power to get through life. When there is nothing else to depend on, they can depend on their Savior. That's what missions is all about, folks. When we were at these places that I didn't know the language, I tell you, one of these days I'll probably figure Spanish out, but for right now, it's Spanish to me. It's like Greek. I have no idea what's going on. And when you're sitting there surrounded by people who don't speak English, and you just don't know what's going on, and you start to feel homesick, and you start to wonder if you're ever going to get to talk to somebody in your native language, you realize God's going to have to get me through this. William Carey was a missionary, the modern missionary, went to India and for 7 years ministered in India without one single person receiving Christ as their Lord and Savior. William Carey's wife was mentally ill, and when he finally got her to come on the mission field and bring the kids, she used to have these spells where she would just scream for days at a time. William Carey had to depend on the sustaining power of Almighty God to get him through that. And the nation of India has been blessed because of that. We also show God's power to save. We get to show what God has done in our own lives, and we get to see what God does in the lives of others when we declare Him as Lord and Savior. It's an amazing thing to see. Finally, we get to declare God's plan. On the mission field, giving to missions, supporting missionaries, listening to their testimonies, reading about them so you can pray for them, you are declaring God's plan to the world. The scripture here tells us that the eyes of the blind will see. It says in verse 4, the God of this age, which is Satan, by the way, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Have you ever wondered how someone can hear such a clear presentation of the gospel and still have no idea what you're talking about? Have you ever wondered how you can share what God has done in your life and yet they just go, eh, sounds kind of dull to me. That's because Satan has blinded their eyes. There's a veil that covers their eyes. And only God can remove that veil, and He chooses to do so through those who will share their lives with others. He chooses to do so through His Word being spoken to them over and over and over. And the eyes of the blind are finally opened. Verse 6 says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." We pray for those missionaries that God would be the one to open the eyes of those who hear the message, that God would be the one to shine His light in the darkness. I pray for my family members the same. I pray for your family members the same thing, that God would shine His light in their hearts and open their eyes to His truth. And we see this happen on the mission field. We see God be glorified in verse 15. "All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God." What a wonderful thing to know that by supporting missions, by going on missions, by being a mission-minded church, God is glorified. Last week we looked at Psalm 67. The nations will shout for joy and glorify and praise our Heavenly Father. That's a great blessing. Because when those others come to know Him and praise Him, you know what that means? That means for all eternity, we will be with them. When I think of those that I know that don't know Christ, those that I love, not only do I look at what they're missing here now, but I realize that we will be separated for all eternity because I will be standing around the throne of God giving praise to Him day in, day out, nighttime, daytime. It won't matter because the light of God will be the light for all the nations and not the sun and moon. And I will be part of that and they won't. Instead, they will be in hell for all eternity where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, where there is tremendous torment, where they will be apart from God and His grace forever. Conscious, but dead and in terrible suffering. The blessing of being able to share the gospel and go on missions is that fewer people will be in that situation. And then we'll all be together praising God before His throne. We see in Revelation 7, after this I looked, and there before me was one great multitude, go back a slide, that no one could count. From every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb, they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Every tribe, every tongue, every nation, declaring the praises of God together, and we will be with them. So the question is, now go to the last slide, guys. Last slide, please. Are you on mission with God? Do you seek out these things in your life? Do you seek to be a blessing to those who have gone out? Do you seek to send those out? And do you yourself go when you can? Have you felt the call of God to share His gospel throughout the world? Do you know what it means to really depend on His Word? Have you seen where He'll display His presence through you? Are you a demonstration of His power? Do you declare that God's plan is for all nations to worship Him together? Will you bow your heads with me in prayer? Lord Jesus, we will worship You for all eternity. We don't want to waste any time now. Lord, work in our hearts in such a way that we worship You every moment of every day, so that when we get to heaven, it'll be just an extension of what we're already doing. Lord, give us a magnificent view of who You are. Let us see Your majesty. Let us see Your glory. Let us spontaneously break out in song because of the majesty that we've experienced. And use us, Lord, to go and share that. Use us, Lord, to support those who go. Use us, Lord, to know of what You're doing throughout the world so that we can declare this great and mighty God we serve to all we come in contact with.